Let's open to Ephesians chapter 5. Our text is going to be the first two verses here, because next week, Lord willing, we'll be in verses 3 through 14. And to go through that, we're going to bounce back to verse 1 and 2 a whole bunch. Got to see what's done. I hope I can do that. Paul reminded us in the beginning of this epistle about the love of Christ for his people. And then he told us how the Lord did that. And then he reminded us of the love of Christ for his people, the person and the work of Christ. And then he told us about our guilt, what sin really is. And then he told us about the love of Christ for his people and for his Father, honoring the Father, honoring his holy law, doing it all for his people. And he starts getting into the walk of the believer. This is how we're to walk. In light of the love of Christ for his people, what he did, the blood that he shed for us, he tells us again here in chapter 5, the first two verses, about this love of Christ for his people. There's so many things. It's the imitators of God is the title of my message. Followers of God. Imitators of God. We'll see that, Lord willing, here in a second. But so many things that people say just lose their meaning so fast. Christians. Somebody says, are you a Christian? I'm afraid to ask, well, what do you mean by that? Years ago, a person that was in Christ, that meant something. It meant you had some people about to chop your head off. But that meant something. It meant you was in Him, and Him in you. It's not what that means nowadays. There in the 90s, they had them old bracelets. WWJD, what would Jesus do? That's a good thought to have for a believer in a Holy Spirit and a nature of love and a spirit of faith and obedience and love to the one that saved us. If it's something to do. If it's just something to do. Growing up, I heard a lot of family say, is that where you want to be? Is that how you want to be acting when Jesus comes? To the believer. We talk about a strong rebuke, an admonishment to a young believer, a child, a babe in Christ. It's just acting because they don't know any better. Put that in perspective. Think about that. Is that what you want to be doing? When our Lord, the kingship of Christ comes, I want to be looking to Him. But you have to know Him to look to Him. You have to know Him to be put into Him. You have to know Him to know how He lived. Anything else is just some type of good idea. It's a plan. It's a checklist. We don't worship a checklist. We worship a person. Now, of those 10 lepers we saw this morning, thank you, Bob. That was an absolute blessing. That was as plain as it could be. Outwardly, there was something that got cleaned up. They witnessed a miracle of God working in them. They had an incurable disease at that time, and it was gone, and they knew it. And they went on about their way. They were a benefit of the Lord. But the rain comes on the evil and the good, doesn't it? But one. He didn't say, well, look at this, I'm clean. And he left. Went off by himself, went back doing what he's doing. He followed the Lord Jesus Christ. He bowed at his feet, looked to him alone. I pray we can see it today. There in Ephesians 5, verse 1. Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling savor. It says there, be ye therefore followers of God. Now in our vain imaginations, we can make that mean anything we want it to mean. Committing evil is me waking up in the morning and reading the scriptures and praying out loud to who I think's God and going to church and putting on a nice tie and giving money to the poor. I'm following God. I don't know. That word follow there is nimetes. That's the Greek word. That's where we get the word imitate. Imitate. Be ye imitators of God as dear children. How can my children imitate me if they never knew me? If they don't know me. Can't imitate somebody you don't know. Can't imitate somebody you can't see, can you? Believers are exhorted to be imitators of God. That's the purpose of God in salvation. Do you know that? To make us just like His Son. That's what His purpose was. Before time, we see that in chapter 1. Before time was, before this world was, God the Father purposed to save a people. He purposed to save a people, to put them in Christ His Son, and for Christ to be their sacrifice, to be their lamb, their atonement, to reconcile us to Himself. It said in Romans 8, "For whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren." Well, putting us in Christ, what's that going to do for the believer? It's going to make us like Christ. Conform us to His image for eternity. God created Adam in the garden after His own image. He said, "Let us make man in our image, after our likeness." So God created man in His own image. In the image of God created He him. Male and female created He them. We were created in His image. Adam came into this world morally innocent. He wasn't holy. He didn't. The ability to sin wasn't beyond him. He was morally innocent. It hadn't happened yet. Lord sustained him. But he was created in the image of God. And then something happened. Something changed. He fell. We spiritually died in our father Adam. And we became guilty before God. That image of God, it was corrupted within us. Carnal mind became enmity against God. It was at war with God. People say, "Well, I ain't really at war with God. I just don't care to hear about Him." That's war with Him. So the image of God, the image of His Son, it must be recreated within His people by God. We must be born again. An incorruptible seed must be put in us. Ain't going to happen in this flesh. This whole world, purpose of God creating this world, allowing Adam to sin, allowing him to fall in that garden, allowing all mankind to fall in him, is so that God might show His glory in Christ. In conforming us to His image. I'm going to take the base things. I'm going to take the worst thing there is. I'm going to make it just like my Son. I'm going to have a whole nation of people like the sands of the sea, just like Him. The Lord did it on purpose. He has to conform us to the image of His Son because of who we are. We're not the image of Him. We think we are. Well, that's why we just think we're so good and so right. We're not. But we experience this. This work begins when we're regenerated. And the Holy Spirit comes to us. He abounds to us, like He told us in chapter 1. And convicts us of these things. Gives us a new nature to know that that's what happened. God purposed to save a people. It's the only hope we had. He put that people in Christ. That's the only hope we had. And He must reveal it to us because I can't figure it out on my own. That's the only hope I have. God must save His people. We're recreated after God's image in that inward man. God's grace, Paul said there in chapter 4, verse 24, "Put on a new man, after God is created in righteousness and true holiness." He created it. He clothes us in it. How we dress as believers has a whole lot to say about it. People want to wear crosses all the time as a reminder. Well, it reminds me, keeps my eyes... You know how we dress? That's our gospel, isn't it? How we come to the Lord? Robed in Christ's righteousness. Getting warm, put socks on and think, my feet must be shod with the gospel. Turn over to 2 Corinthians chapter 3 real quick. God grows His children in this new man. Our new man's continually transformed into the image of His Son by the Holy Spirit. We've already put on that new man. That new man, it's renewed in knowledge after the image of Him that created him. Paul wrote to the church at Colossae. That's what we're taught here in 2 Corinthians 3, verse 18. 2 Corinthians 3, 18. We all, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed. Just like we're looking in a mirror. Just like we're looking at a glass. We got an open face. We're awake. We're paying attention. We're looking at this glass. And we see Him. Now we have eyes to see Christ. Through that bifocal lens of Christ. Into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. The Holy Spirit does this work as we behold Christ more and more by faith. In the gospel that we preach, in the gospel that we hear. And now this isn't growing in holiness. So many people say, well, I got to get a little holier. I got to get more sanctified. We're holy if we're born of the Spirit of God. You can't get more holy. You're either holy or you're not holy. But this is a growth in grace and in the knowledge of the Son of God in that inward man. We start learning more of Him, just as a child does. You have a baby. After a while it says, Mama and Daddy. Knows who its parents are. And as they grow up, they learn more. Sometimes when they're 40 and their parents have passed away, they learn more. Still learning. Turn over to 1 John chapter 3. And you can leave a marker there in 1 John 3. We'll be back to it. Lord saved the people on purpose. He grows us. We follow Him after that regeneration takes place in us. And when He takes us home, after this race is finished, when we see Christ face to face, we see Him as He is, we'll be perfectly conformed to His image. We'll be no longer imitating, we'll be made just like Him, within and without. So John says here in 1 John 3, verse 2, Beloved, now are we the sons of God. You got to do something else. Now we are the sons of God. And it doth not yet appear what we shall be when this life is over. But we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him. For we shall see Him as He is. And every man that hath this hope in him, we will see him as he is. That's not a hope of going to heaven. That's not a hope of escaping hell. This isn't some parachute that keeps us out of the lakes of fire of damnation. You have a hope of a person coming. Our Redeemer coming. Every man that hath this hope in Him purifieth himself, even as He is pure. We follow Christ. We're conformed to Christ. We imitate Christ. How pure can you get? People get mad. This is something the believers to do. We get a precept here. This is something we can do. Love like Christ loved. Somebody'll hear that and they'll get mad. That ain't enough. That ain't a Sabbath. That ain't a head covering. That ain't something. It's what a child of God does. Dear children, love like Christ loved. Purified as He's purified. We don't expect to make ourselves perfectly pure in our lives. This is a heart work that the Holy Spirit does. But the believer who has this sure hope, we have a hope of Him coming. We imitate Christ, who walked in holiness in His life and conduct, how He walked this earth. Christ is the pattern that we study. We seek to walk as Christ walked, putting off that old man, putting on the new man. Our motivation is that now we are sons of God. That's our motivation. Now we are as dear children. Look back there in our text, Ephesians 5. So having been recreated after the image of God, having been made the righteousness of Christ through faith. It says there in verse 32 of chapter 4, Ephesians 4:32, Even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you, be ye therefore, because of that, followers of God as dear children. Hearing the gospel is sitting at the table and eating. We come here Sunday morning, Sunday evening, and Wednesday. We come and we eat. There's a meal ready. We sit and eat. And it's a wonderful thing to hear what God's freely done for us. That's a necessity. We must hear it. To meditate on these things. Imitating God is getting up from that table, using the strength that food was given to us, that puts in us. And He says, go further than just eating. We don't just come and eat. Use the strength Christ gives to imitate Christ, to follow God, to walk after the pattern that Christ has set before us. This here is the classroom instruction. Out there is the practical. That's the practicum. That's where you actually apply it and you learn. The Lord teaches you. He'll teach us here, but then you'll be sitting by a poolside one day, or you'll be pulling weeds in the garden, changing a flat tire. Hey, now it goes from here to here. The Lord applies that to us as we walk in this world. It's good to listen to gospel messages. In this day and age, we can get on the internet, sermon audio and stuff, and we can download, we can pick and choose anything you want. You can sit down and listen to a whole bunch of them. But sitting at home and listening to the gospel is not following. Agreeing with the gospel is not imitating the Lord God. He said, be ye followers of God as dear children. We follow God as dear children. That word dear there, do you know what that means? Well, it means, you know, you write that on a letter, right? Dear Matt, dear Karen, dear Deanne. We write that. Throw that around too, just like we was talking in the beginning. The word dear there means loved. Truly loved. And it actually means favorite. That's a favorite child. That's not up to par in the last 30, 40 years to have a favorite child, but that's to be a favorite child. Who was the Lord God's favorite child? His firstborn, His elect, Christ. And being joint heirs with Him, each one of His children, you're His favorite child. That's how I feel when you get a look at Him only, when we get to follow Him, and when we're looking only to Christ, what's that feels in there? That's one-on-one. Like there ain't another one left. It's just me. Dear children are children beloved of God. What a privilege it is to say that. What great love God had toward us to make us the children of God, to make us His children. He says, be followers of God as children chosen of God the Father, adopted by God the Father. Be followers of God as children redeemed by Christ our everlasting Father. Forever the children of that second Adam. This isn't a temporary thing. This isn't getting started off on the right foot. It's eternal. It's eternal to be His dear children. John told us that, but as many as received Him, to them gave He power. He gave the privilege to become sons of God. Even to them that believe on His name, which were born, not of blood, not of the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. We were dead in sins. I was dead in my sin. I fell in Adam. I fell in me. I was dead in my sins. And then, after that, not of blood, not of the will of the flesh, not of the will of man, not of me doing something, not of some other man doing something. We've been born of God, born of Him. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us that we should be called the children of God. What love. So it says here, as dear children, it teaches us the attitude we're to follow God with. It's not a spirit of law. It's not a spirit of do and don't. It's a spirit of grace. Spirit of grace. The child who most loves his father and his mother wants to honor his father and his mother. The child adopted at great cost. Great cost. Loves much. Wants to imitate. It follows. Remember that woman with that alabaster box of ointment we looked at? Mary. Christ said, wherefore I say unto thee, her sins, which are many. Are your sins many? Are forgiven. For she loved much. But to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth much. All of a sudden that love don't matter. Now we got something better to do. We grew past that. That's higher up on the fruit tree. Got something else to do. No. One that's been forgiven much will love much. Turn back to 1 John 3 again. When you know how great your guilt is, mercy makes you not only rejoice to be a child of God, but mercy makes you want to obey as a dear child. Not as slaves, not compelled by the law, but as dear, beloved children. That'll be the nature to the child born of God. To one of His true children. That's their nature. That's what's put in them. It says in 1 John 3, verse 7. Little children, let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as he is righteous. He that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin. That new man in you is holy, without blame, unreprovable before him in love. For his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin, because he's born of God. Verse 10. In this the children of God are manifest, and the children of the devil. Whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God. That those that do not believe Christ, do not love Christ, they're not of God. Neither he that loveth not his brother. We looked at that as we went through 1 John. What's doing righteousness? That's believing Christ and loving your brethren. If you love him, you'll love Christ in your brethren. And you'll want to be with them. The fathers love to see their children imitating them. That's why I saw my boys grow, and I thought, they stand just like my dad. I wonder why they stand like my dad. Well, they had their hands in the pocket. They don't even know they're doing it. I said, it must be something in their DNA. Maybe it's the length of their arms or something. You know, they stand just like him. And as I was looking at him, I realized I'm standing just like him. I was imitating my father. They were imitating me. In John's third epistle, he says, I have no greater joy than to hear my children walk in truth. If I'm following Christ and he reveals himself to me, and I was to be graced by his love to know who he was, and I followed him, I wanted to imitate him. Nothing would make me happier than if you followed him. Not follow me, follow him. We'll be walking the same way, won't we? If we're following him, we're on the same path. It's one man wide. Now we need to have a form to copy, don't we? If we're going to copy something, remember in grade school, when you first start learning how to write, you didn't know your ABCs, so they had great big old ABCs, and you copied it. You'd draw that until you got the pattern down, didn't you? Had to have something to copy. Back in our text there, here's the copy that we follow. He gives us the one copy we're to follow. It says in Ephesians 5, verse 2, and walk in love, as Christ also hath loved us and hath given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. Now, if I come to you, somebody come to me and they say, Kevin, imitate God. Follow God. So many people want to do that, don't they? Who want to be just like Jesus? That's nonsense, everybody says. Imitate God. Well, can you imitate God's power? I can't do that. Can you imitate his omnipresence? Can you imitate his omniscience? We can't imitate those, can we? What can we? We're called to imitate his love. That's something we know about. Something's given to us, shed abroad in our hearts. And he says, imitate the love of Christ. People want something to do, do that. You just got to have something to do. Love as Christ loved. Our master washed the feet of his disciples. Talk about giving us an example. He got down and he washed their feet. He says, I have given you an example that you should do as I have done to you. Does that mean we've got to go around and wash? There's people where I grew up, you wash feet during services. I ain't doing that. We ain't doing that here. Does that mean we've got to wash feet? Of course it don't. God Almighty humbled himself in love, in compassion, humbleness, and washed his feet. The greatest become the least. He that ruled all became servant to those that he loved. Walk after that. Follow God. Imitate that. That's what I pray I can do. So giving. So forgiving. Giving and forgiving. He said there he gave himself. He loved us and gave himself. To give himself meant he gave his heart, his will, to do the will of the Father. Repeatedly said, I came down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him that sent me. He's an exact copy of his Father. He's of the same character, same nature of his Father. And he says that he that seeth me hath seen the Father. It was because he was doing exactly the will of his Father. Those who lay down their wills what I want, what I think, what I need to do the will of God, as dear children, we give Him everything. As Barnard said, we turn ourselves over lock, stock, and barrel to You. We give ourselves. That's what God meant there in Proverbs 23 when He says, "My son, give me thy heart. Give me your heart. The whole of me." Now notice there, Christ did not merely say He loved us. He didn't say, "Well, I love them over there." He loved us and gave Himself for us. To walk in love, that's not merely to talk about walking in love. But that's the action on it. And it's to do it out of a heart of love. We should seek to advance, to increase, and to abound more and more in love and in following Him. That's the difference between lip service and following God. I read His Word. I got a bunch of Scripture memorized and throw them at you all day. I know all the doctrines. Look, hopefully tonight we'll look at that thief on the cross that the Lord saved. He didn't come to a total depravity. He experienced it. He didn't say, "Well, I believe in election." He was. He didn't say, "I believe in irresistible grace," but that grace was irresistible in Him. He persevered to the end, looking to a person, looking to Christ our Savior. I hope we can grow more and more in that. That's what Paul told the church at Philippi. "And this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment." To the Thessalonians, "Furthermore, we beseech you, brethren, and exhort you by the Lord Jesus, that ye have received of us how ye ought to walk." We've told you what you ought to be doing. "And to please God, so you would abound more and more." To walk after God is not just to be innocent of wrongdoing. Not living a godly life. Not washing the outside of the cup. We are to be blameless. Harmless as sons of God without rebuke. We shouldn't bring reproach on our gospel or our Lord that saved us. But God is more than that. He's more than just a clean outside of a cup, isn't He? Christ did more than that. And to follow Him is to do more than to be blameless. It's to give ourselves. Look here at the next point. It says, "He gave Himself for us." Who's the us? Who did Christ come lay down His life for in love? People that hated Him. We shook our fist in His face. Said, "I won't have this man reign over me." This just all seems too fake, don't it? This couldn't be real. It's just an old book. It's an old storybook. Say, "No, God, that's who He came to die for." Those that were straight enemies against Him. Vile enemies. "And He gave Himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God." Christ offered up Himself as a sacrifice for the sins of His people. To atone the sins of His people. To make reconciliation and satisfaction for our sins. Propitiation. Well, we looked at that in depth, didn't we? Over and over again. What's that mean? Mercy seat. Acceptable sacrifice. It wasn't what He got pigeonholed into doing. He willingly made Himself our propitiation. He willingly laid His life down and shed His blood. In order to do that, that meant Christ had to come to where we are. And He had to do for us what we could not do for ourselves. He had to bear our sins. He had to bear that judgment, that wrath of God, our shame. He had to bear our death. He went to go meet those enemies that come to lead Him to that cross. And He said, "But the world may know that I love the Father. And as the Father hath given me commandment, so do I. Arise and let us go hence." They come to lead Him away to that cross. And He said, "Just so the world will know I love the Father. And I do exactly as He says. I follow His will. Let's get it on. Let's go do it. Let's get it over with. Arise and go hence." So it tells us, bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. That law of love, says there in Galatians 6. It may mean we have to go out of our way to follow God. To imitate Him. To reflect that love of Christ. We may have to look over sins of people. Big ones. We may have to endure some shame. We may have to be loving to those that are just barking against us. We may have to lay down our lives, lose our comforts, lose our ease in this world to serve Him. Is that unreasonable? That's what the Lord did for us, didn't it? All of a sudden, that's not as unreasonable, is it? That's our reasonable service. Parents, they lay down their lives for their children. Everything we do it for our kids, don't we? Even the disobedient ones. A dear child, a beloved child, will honor their father and mother for doing so. And God teaches us here that that is what He's done for us. He teaches us to honor Him by doing the same for one another. Even those who appear to be our enemies, they just might be a child of God that He hasn't called yet. Those that curse us, love them. It says there, lastly, a sweet-smelling savor. What Christ did for His people was a sweet-smelling savor. He was the burnt offering, a sweet-smelling savor to God. Christ was the offering, a sacrifice that satisfied all the demands of God's justice for the sins of His people. And by one offering, Christ put away our sins forever. He perfected His people forever by one offering, by Himself. What makes this a sweet-smelling savor to us? You remember the first time that you heard this good news? The first time. It wasn't something wrote down. It wasn't some rules. It wasn't a systematic theology. It was a person. First time you saw Christ. You remember how you felt when you first met your brethren? I remember the first couple conferences I went to as a believer. Went in this, a few of y'all have been to conferences. There's 250 people, 300 people in that place. Here, this is a strange thing. We're a small group in a big county. A few people that know God. That's a remnant. And all of a sudden, there's a whole bunch of remnants put together, wasn't it? And I thought, what do I have to do to get back here? That's where I want to be. I could say I love that woman, but if one of y'all asked, how's Cameron doing? I don't know. I ain't seen her in about 2 months. You think I love her? Lord, give us ears to hear. That's what we prayed on. Give us eyes to see Christ. That's what we pray. Give us a nose to smell how sweet He is. What we smell? Give us a nose to smell peace. Rest, His love for His people. That's a comforting smell, isn't it? All through this epistle, Holy Spirit moved Paul to speak of love. Turn over to Revelation chapter 2. He just keeps going back to that. Love of God. And there's no doubt in my mind, it's because God, He just knows the heart of those at the church of Ephesus. And He knows our hearts. It says there in Revelation 2, remember, this here's the letter He was writing to the Ephesians. Revelation 2:2. I know thy works, and thy labor, and thy patience, and how thou canst not bear them which are evil, and thou hast tried them which say they are apostles and are not, and hast found them liars, and hast borne, and hast patience, and for my name's sake hast labored, and hast not fainted. He goes, I know you, and you can't tolerate a false gospel. You can't, there is no other Christ. You know the true and living God. And you've labored for that. You've had patience in doing so, and you labored for it. And you haven't fainted. Verse 4. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. You've moved on to something else. Remember, therefore, from whence thou art fallen, and repent, and do the first works. He says, never lose that first love for Christ and for your brethren. First time you found out you had brethren, you weren't an only child, and you wanted to cling to them. Don't lose that. Repent and go back to it. First time you saw Christ, and boy, the birds chirped sweeter, the sun was a little brighter. Go back to that. Go back to that first love. Remember from whence thou art fallen, and repent and do the first works. He said the same thing in our text. Be therefore followers of God as dear children. Go to that. Look to Him. Always be that little child before your Heavenly Father and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us and hath given Himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. Well, that's not a rigid, strict, stern, stoic commandment to follow God, is it? You want to. That's what we saw recently in Romans 12. Paul said, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Well, if I gave up all the comforts in this world for my brethren to support them for the furtherance of the gospel and to serve my God, is that reasonable? If I lost everything, knowing Him it is. And be not conformed to this world, be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And the glorying of Himself and the saving of His people. That's a motive, isn't it? If we imitate the love of Christ, that's what we're called to do. To be followers of God. Imitate Christ's love in our walk in this world. Whoever finds fault with us, do they have fault with me, or do they have fault with the one I'm copying? They ain't mad at me, are they? I pray the Lord give us the grace to do that. Amen. Let's pray.